Hello, good morning. My name is Richard. I'm one of the leaders here at Kingfisher Church. And we're going to think a little bit together about what happened to Mary at that first Christmas. So let me open my Bible. That'll be helpful for me. It's just the way things are, isn't it? Christmas is full of things that are just the way things are. It's just how it works. It's just how we do things. Like Christmas trees, for example. Now, we've got a forest of Christmas trees here this morning. Now, I know that when it comes to Christmas trees, there's a history to Christmas trees. I know that people tag on different meanings to different things onto the Christmas tree. But for me, we have a Christmas tree in my house because I like having a Christmas tree. That's it. It makes Christmas just feel a bit more Christmassy. It's what I was brought up with. It's just what we do. It's just the way things are. I'll show you some pictures of Christmas trees. This is nothing like what it looks in our house. Especially that one. There you go. But there are plenty of Christmas trees around. It's just the way things are. Now, my challenge for us this morning is this. What if the way that things are is not what we thought? I'm not talking about Christmas trees, of course. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about our expectations of what will happen or won't happen, what we think will make us happy, why we bother in the first place. Now, the whole way that we think life works, the whole way that things are, what if the way things are is not what we thought? We read a bit of that. Heidi read for us that bit of the Christmas story from one of those original first accounts about Mary. And in that bit of the Bible, we're introduced to this teenage girl. Very likely that she was a teenager. The reason that's likely is because that's just the way things were for her. She lives in Nazareth. Nazareth was a nowhere place. No one had heard of Nazareth. A bit like Little Paxton. You say to people, I'm from Little Paxton. They say, where's that? That's Nazareth for you. And she's engaged to be married to Joseph. And the reason is that's just the way things are for her. She was a very ordinary girl at a very typical stage of life. Her life is all mapped out for her. She's going to get married. She'll have babies. Joseph will run the business. They'll try to make ends meet. Just like everyone else, she'll try to be liked and respected in her community. That's just the way that things are. And then for Mary, the ordinary is shattered. What if the way things are is not what she thought? Now, this account of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, it's very familiar for us. I'm sure it's not new for us this morning. And we have a bit of a feel for this. But I reckon that our feel for what happens is kind of fluffed up by years of carols and nativity plays. And maybe we've lost sight a little bit of what actually is going on here. You see, for Mary, this was cataclysmically unexpected. This shattered the way that she saw the world, the way that she thought things were. And it's for that reason that I think this ought to grab us, and it brings us right into the story, because just maybe the way that things are is not what we think. The angel, this angelic announcement to Mary, it has deep resonance with more ancient texts in the Bible. We had one of them read from Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophetic poet writing 700 years earlier, and he wrote about Galilee that's mentioned here. He wrote about the birth of a son who would come to be king forever. And he wrote also about this pervading darkness over life. And the darkness that he wrote about so long ago is a darkness that we all know. Now, we might not name it in the way that he does, but we all have a taste for it. You don't need to look very long at the world to see darkness creeping and darkness casting its shadow. A recent revelations about what's been going on in football clubs is part of that. The gut-wrenching, heart-tearing tragedy in Aleppo is another example of it. And we know what the darkness looks like, and we don't just know it from afar. We also know it in our own lives. You know, Christmas can be a very difficult time of year for people. Maybe it is for you. It's a time of year when the pain of broken relationships just seems to come more to the surface. It's a time of year when we enjoy being with friends and family, But also we feel more acutely the absence of others. And that's what the ancient poetry of Isaiah captures, something of this. You see, for Isaiah, this darkness is the sadness and the loss and the conflict of the broken relationships and even death. Now, Isaiah writes about light shining into that darkness. He writes about light beginning to dawn. He talks about the bringing of joy and of the end of oppression. He talks about peace. He talks about rest. Later on, he talks about death being overturned. He talks about sadness being wiped away. But all of that, I don't know about you, all of that feels a very long way from the way that things are for us. Well, that's all the background to the angel's announcement to Mary. And Mary's going to give birth to a son. That's the message, isn't it? He's going to be called Jesus. Literally, he's going to be called Saviour. He's going to be great. And this child born, as Isaiah wrote, is also the son who is given, the son of God, God himself coming to live on earth. And the reason that the son is coming is so he can be king forever. His kingdom will never end. And all this language, it just brings, avalanches of centuries of expectations are brought and focused onto a single point in time. And the headline of it all is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is given. Jesus is born. He's coming to be king forever. And his arrival will mean the end of the darkness. And his rule is going to banish all the badness and the sadness. And the child being born for Mary, the message is that he is the hope for humanity. You see, the Bible tells us that everyone is either going to cling to the darkness or receive the light. Jesus comes as the light to offer life. And it's for each of us to either receive him or reject him. And all of that means, as the angel announces this to Mary, it means you can't just like Jesus. Now, I often hear people say, oh, Jesus, he's a good teacher, he's an inspirational guy, a nice chap. I don't know what you think about Jesus. But you can't really say that about Jesus. And in the Bible, the people who actually met Jesus and realized what he was claiming, they either were furious with him or they fell on their knees and worshipped him. Nobody simply liked him. You see, this baby who was born at Christmas to be king forever, this Son of God who has come, if he is king forever, that means sooner or later we all have to deal with him. It means either we will receive him or reject him, but we cannot avoid him. Now that's the angelic announcement to Mary. That's what breaks into the ordinary for Mary. But what if the way things are is not what she thought? Now, I don't know what you make of that. That's all in a nutshell, really. I don't know what you think about it. Now maybe it's a bit like these. Sprouts. I love sprouts. One of the highlights for me at Christmas is sprouts. Can't wait till next Sunday when we get to eat sprouts. We're never allowed to eat them at other times, but we get to eat sprouts. But there is a limit, isn't there? A limit to the number of sprouts you can eat. And this lady is Emma Dalton. Last week she broke the world record for eating sprouts. She ate 3 kilograms. 325 sprouts in half an hour. That is a little bit hard to stomach, isn't it, Marion? A little bit hard to stomach. You know, if we hear the angel's message to Mary and we think that's a little bit hard to stomach, a bit like eating 300 odd sprouts, we think it's a bit difficult for us. It just seems so alien and strange for us. Got to realize that it was no less so for Mary. Now, how do you feel about it all? How do you feel about this announcement, this strange message that comes? Now, that Jesus Christ, he really lived, that he's Son of God, he's King forever, and he will bring an end to the darkness, and sooner or later, we will all have to deal with him. What do you make of it? Are you doubtful? Now, I think the reality for us is that we are all doubters. But what matters is not that we doubt, it's the kind of doubt that we have. You see, there's a kind of doubt that religious and non-religious people have, a kind of doubt that simply is a closed mind, a kind of doubt that sticks your fingers in your ears and shouts la 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 at the top of your voice because you want to avoid it. You don't want to engage. You refuse to engage. But there's a different kind of doubt. There's a doubt that wrestles, a doubt that inquires, a doubt that weighs it up, a doubt that is willing to change. A doubt that is willing to accept that that the way things are might just not be what we thought they were. Now you see how Mary reacts to all this. Now Mary is no kind of ditzy girl with her head in the clouds. She is a hard-thinking, rational, clear-sighted woman. And she reacts in four ways to this encounter. First of all, it says that she is greatly troubled. That is a very appropriate response to what happens here. She meets an angel who says God is with her. And the angel goes on to say she's going to give birth to the Son of God who will be the King forever. That is disturbing. You ever had that feeling in the pit of your stomach, not because of sprouts, but the feeling in the pit of your stomach because you hear something that just throws you off course a bit? Mary is disturbed. But you know, shouldn't we be also? Now, the message that the angel brings to Mary, if we trace it through to ourselves, it's saying, if you don't have Jesus as your king, then you will not escape the darkness. If that's true, it is deeply troubling. I don't think we can easily dismiss that. That's the first thing Mary does. Secondly, it says she wondered. Gives the impression of something a bit mystical, but actually the word used there literally is about the idea of being intensely rational. And Mary thinks very carefully. She reasons carefully about what she's told. She's ready to think it through. She's ready to engage her intellect in it. Thirdly, Mary asks, how will this be since I'm a virgin? She's incredulous. She finds it hard to believe. Mary understands very well the biological process of making children, and she knows that is not possible for her to become pregnant. But her doubt is a doubt that inquires. She doesn't cut off the conversation at that point. She doesn't stop her ears. She asks for more information. And then lastly, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You see, the very first thing the angel says to Mary is he says, greetings, you who are highly favoured. When the angel comes to Mary, he is not saying, Mary, you've passed the test. I've singled you out as worthy. But the angel is saying, God has chosen to give you favour. In fact, the whole announcement of the angel to Mary is not about what Mary must do, but about what God will give. Now that's why presents are so appropriate at Christmas. Now, the original Christmas is all about giving, rooted in giving. The angel's message is that God is giving his son. And the gift of God's son finally is unwrapped at that first Easter. When the Son of God, Jesus Christ, gives himself to death. That's the kind of king he came to be. Jesus came to be the kind of king who gives himself to rescue his people. Now when the angel visits Joseph shortly after this, the angel says, you must call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. They see, Jesus can rescue people from the grip of darkness. Jesus can bring people into his forever kingdom and give eternal life because he has entered into the darkest darkness. He entered into death itself and he undid death's stranglehold. That's what he came to do. He came to give life, eternal life, to all who will receive him. So you see, the question for Mary is this. The question for Mary is not, will you do what it takes? But it's, will you take what is given? Will you take what is done? And actually, the same is true for us. Now, the Bible tells us what God does for us in Jesus. And the question for us is not, will you strive to be good enough to deserve eternal life? That's a crippling challenge. Unfortunately, I think it's what most people seem to think that Christianity is about. It's about trying to earn enough to be good enough. But it's not about that at all. The question for us is not, will you do what it takes? The question for us is, will you take what Jesus has done? Now, for Mary, that came at a risk. Her reputation was on the line. She would be subject to the misunderstanding of her community, her relationship with Joseph. She doesn't know how that's going to work out here. But she reasons. Because the angel says no word from God will ever fail. She reasons, if God says it, then God can do it. So she submits. There's a kind of sense in which Mary reaches this point where she's saying, I don't really get it all. There's lots that I don't yet understand, but I'm willing to take a step. So let me ask you this morning. Now, as you come here this morning and as you hear this, I just wonder if the way that things are is not what you thought. I wonder if you doubt. I wonder what kind of doubt you have. I wonder if you would dare to identify with one of Mary's responses. I wonder if this message troubles you, disturbs you, unsettles you. Are you willing to think it through? If it doesn't make sense, would you engage in the conversation? Or maybe you want to submit to Jesus today. Now, what if the way things are is not what you thought? Now, let me just, as we close, suggest a couple of things you might like to do. Talk to someone. That'd be great. Ask questions. Find out more. At the back, we have a number of copies of these. It's a little bit of the Bible. John's Gospel tells us about Jesus' life, what he did, why he did it. Why don't you take that and read it? Now, find out for yourself. Investigate. At the back, there are a few other books you might also be interested in. Please feel free to take what pokes your interest. Also, just from time to time here at Kingfisher, we run a course called Christianity Explored. It is what it says it is. It's a chance to explore Christianity. A 6-week course, very informal, very straightforward. If you're interested, there's a bit more information at the back, or speak to me. What if the way things are is not what we thought? We're going to sing again. We're going to sing, I think they call it a mashup. It's some carols that have been squashed together and put into a more contemporary.